Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan, Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. Nice to see you as ever.
Nice to see you as well.
How are things in the legal realm?
No end of allegations of crime, so we're busy as ever.
Well, you're in the right spot, aren't you? Okay, well, we're going to talk about class action lawsuits. Plenty of talk about that in the news these days. Things like Air Canada flight passes. What a bargain that would have been, right?
That's
what was
right.
It? Was it $800?
Yeah, they had these flight passes on their website that would ordinarily sell for $8,000-some-odd. And they listed them for sale for $800 with large, bold printing on the page indicating that under no circumstances would the cost of a flight pass ever be refunded, probably designed to assist them if people had second thoughts about making a purchase. After a period of time and some unknown but large total number of people purchased these things, Air Canada decided to cancel all of the flight passes that had been sold at this lower rate. And that precipitated a class action starting in Vancouver by a law firm in Vancouver. And that's just one of a couple that have been in the news lately. So I thought that would be an interesting topic to talk about.
Well, yeah, well, let's explain to people what we mean by a class action lawsuit.
Well, the way a class action works, and one way to think of it is sort of a way to get access to justice for people on issues which it wouldn't make economic sense to go and sue individually. And the way it works is you would have a person who would be called a representative plaintiff. So one person who's actually in that spot, a person who in the Air Canada case purchased a flight pass and then had it canceled. And then the law firm would start an action on behalf of that person and seek to have it certified as a class action. And what would occur is there would be a hearing in front of a judge, and the judge would determine whether the issue was an appropriate one to be dealt with by way of a class action, and whether the person is an appropriate representative plaintiff, and whether that lawyer or law firm should handle it. And then if the matter is certified, the way it would work is that the law firm would need to publish a notice that they're doing that, and then presumptively, if you're somebody in the class, whoever that's defined, you know, a purchaser of the flight pass or a purchaser.
You got an $800 Air Canada flight pass and
correct.
It's been canceled.
That's right. You might say pretty clear you're a member of that class. And then ordinarily how it would work is that you would be a member of the class unless you take a step to say you want to opt out. So if a person said, yes, I bought the flight pass, but you know, I prefer to go and sue in small claims court on my own, you could give notice and carry on yourself.
But you stand to make potentially more money if you join a class action?
Well, the key thing for a class action is many of these things on their own simply wouldn't be worth your time and trouble.
Right.
You know, who wants to take time off work and show up in court or go hire a lawyer to go and pursue your claim for,
well, it's going to be costly as well. I mean, is it cheaper for a class action?
That's right. I mean, if everyone had to go and hire a lawyer or everyone had to go and take time off work and try to do the work themselves, many of these things simply would not be worth the time and trouble. And we don't want a circumstance where companies can wrong thousands of people and get away with it because it's not worth suing over $500 or even $5,000, given mm-hmm. how much time and expense would be involved.
Sort of when you go to small claims instead.
Yeah, that's right. So it's in that respect sort of an important aspect of sort of access to justice so that big companies can't do bad things to a large number of people, costing each of them only a modest amount in a way which, without that process, nobody could ever get any redress for.
We would be remiss to not mention what is going on at Volkswagen right now. And just to let our listeners know that in the next half hour, we will have George Enney from the Automobile Protection Association with the very latest on that in terms of what it means for car dealers and the like. But what about this class action lawsuit? Volkswagen drivers, vehicles from certain years were duped to think that their vehicles weren't emitting what they were.
And that's true. There's already been a class action filed, at least one in Canada. There may be more in different provinces. That's going to present a number of, I think, fascinating issues. One of them we were actually debating around the office the other day. It would seem clear for somebody who had purchased a Volkswagen that's emitting, it was one of these ones captured in this category of things that were putting out too much pollution, they would probably have a pretty clear claim in terms of the decreased value of their car, right? You may have a harder time selling your Volkswagen, or it would sell for less money because of its pollution problems. But let's imagine a person who had, for example, leased a Volkswagen that was in that category, and their lease finished last month. They'd been driving it around for 2 years, spewing out all of these toxic chemicals. Where would that person be?
Interesting.
Does the driver of that car, have they suffered any loss, which would be any different from any other member of the public that's been breathing in the excess pollution?
What would it be on the grounds that they intentionally rented or leased that vehicle with the knowledge that it had proper
emissions? That's right. So you would no doubt have a category of people who had purchased, let's say somebody had purchased and sold the car already, or had leased it and the lease had finished, and it turns out that they purchased it because maybe one of their considerations was its emission characteristics.
Right.
They've driven it, they've returned it or sold it, they no longer have it, so they haven't lost any money as a result of the car going down in value. So one of the interesting things we were discussing is, what loss has that person suffered? Have they suffered that previous owner? Have they suffered any more of a loss than any other member of the public? And it's clear that Volkswagen's going to get fined and be required to fix these things and be punished. But one of the issues may be sort of what is the, and how should we calculate the damages for the perhaps past Volkswagen owner? Have they suffered an economic loss? It's clear if you've still got one, you may be able to have to sell it for less, so you'd be entitled to the difference there, and certainly have it fixed. But what about the person who no longer has it? Should they be compensated for that, or should Volkswagen simply suffer the penalties and fines and so on that'll come from breaching their the environmental regulations?
I'm going to turn this on its head. What about human beings who were violated by these vehicles pumping illegal emissions into the air? Would they have grounds to sue Volkswagen?
Well, that's fascinating. So you would have to look at sort of what is somebody's loss? Because ordinarily the civil law is concerned with what have you lost and trying to put you back in the spot you would have been in but for the loss, whether it was a breach of contract or tort or whatever it might be. And here you've got a fascinating circumstance where the harm is a diffuse harm. Everyone's worse off when you've got cars belching out 40 times the amount of pollutants that should come out of the back of it. But does that harm really attach to the driver of the car, or does it attach equally to the neighbor of the person who drove the polluting car?
Or
the person
or
drove
humans
behind it?
That dwell on planet Earth.
That's right. So who are we to compensate here? You know, it's clear that if your car is going down in value, we should compensate you for that. But is this the sort of thing which there should be financial compensation if you were, for example, a past Volkswagen owner, if you haven't gotten sick any more than anyone else has? Or should this be dealt with by way of fines and so on payable to the public?
Well, full disclosure here, I drive a Jetta. It doesn't fall into the category that it's not diesel and it wasn't the years that were problematic. But you just put this on my radar. If I go and try to sell this, I may well, you know, suffer the consequences of the fraud.
That's also true. The other effect of this whole thing is going to be serious damage to the reputation of Volkswagen. So if you own a Volkswagen, even if it's not a diesel Volkswagen, I would suspect that the price of those would go down. I can't imagine there's a long line of people waiting at the Volkswagen dealer even to purchase gas-powered cars. They might be worried about whether other things were deceptive or whether they could believe other claims about the car. So there's an interesting question. If you are not a diesel Volkswagen owner, have you suffered a loss?
So I could potentially join a class action lawsuit.
I think that's an interesting issue.
Fascinating stuff here on Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan. Let's get to Roger on the phone. Hi, Roger. You're on CFAX.
Yeah, just following up a train of thought, we're getting caught up in two major things. One, the trade agreement with China, and then the other one that's on hold with Europe, where basically the corporations can sue us as a country, but the companies are never liable for anything. So this might be the open ticket here now to push back a little bit, because if we could open it up to the key word you use is a human being clause now, where the corporations are abusing us to the point where they're breaking what? Human being laws to justify them partaking in business on the earth.
It's a bit of a
stretch, but at the same time, from what I've heard about trying to get even with the corporations, we can't get a hold of them at all. They can sue us on these international venues at this level, but we've got no retaliation.
Interesting lateral thinking, Roger. Michael.
Well, I think class action processes, which are relatively new in Canada, we haven't had those forever, are a very good equalizer for the little guy, right? If you're the little guy who's had some wrong done to you in terms of your car or some other product you've purchased or your airline ticket or things of that sort, it helps eliminate sort of the sense of impunity that can come from having to deal with a very large corporation, right? The little person who says, look, you know, I lost $1,000 on my car, may not be able to take the time and effort to go and sue successfully to prove that and get some compensation. And having this as a process available to us is, I think, a serious equalizer. And hopefully in the long term would also encourage companies to behave in an ethical fashion and in a way to avoid this sort of liability, because the liability is potentially huge. It's billions of dollars.
You're listening to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. Stay with us. More right after this.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
This is just coming into the newsroom. Police are reporting.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
If you lack energy and crave sugar, you might have a buildup of candida yeast in your body. If that's the case, take CandiGone from Renew Life, the first step to getting your zip back. CandiGone is a powerful cleansing formula designed to help destroy and remove candida yeast overgrowth, a problem for both men and women throughout your body, helping you regain your health and vitality. CandiGone from Renew Life, available at Lifestyle Markets, on Douglas Street in Cook Street Village, and on Pitt Street in Sydney.
Community mailboxes have been the recent target of thieves in rural Saanich. Residents using community mailboxes are urged to collect mail as soon as possible to avoid becoming a victim of theft. If you witness any suspicious activity around community mailboxes or other crimes, please contact your local police directly or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS.
How many calls do I have to make just to find a reliable contractor to renovate my kitchen?
Have you tried EasyJobQuote.com?
Easy what?
EasyJobQuote.com. Call them to have an experienced estimator meet with you and go over what you need done. They submit your reno to qualified contractors who bid on your job and choose the bid that suits you. You can write your own review when the job is done, giving you a voice in the market.
Finding a contractor is stressful. We can help. Save time and have less frustration on your next renovation. EasyJobQuote.com.
Excuse me, I'm looking for carpet tax.
Oh, sorry, we've got, like, no tax today.
No tax?
Right, like, no tax.
But don't you usually have tax here?
Usually, but today's special, it's like no tax day.
So how do I tie down my carpet?
Oh, simple, we have tax for that.
Right.
This Saturday only, save the equivalent of the tax on any purchase of $100 or more at Rona and Rona Home and Garden. So come on in this Saturday and save the tax. Details at rona.ca.
Saw you going over the resumes. Thoughts on Thomas Mulcair?
The career politician?
That's him. First elected to the Quebec National Assembly in 94.
He might be from there, but he's just like our NDP.
You sound concerned.
I am. Remember the 90s? The NDP can't manage money.
You're right. They almost ran our province into the ground.
Spending in Ottawa will be out of control.
Taxes will have to go up.
That will wreck our economy.
The NDP are all the same.
Thomas Mulcair, another career politician we can't afford.
Authorized by the registered agent for the Conservative Party of Canada.
Are you a shopping addict?
A hamburger connoisseur?
Golf aficionado?
If you answered yes or just love screaming hot deals and discounts at your favorite hangouts, you've got to download the Get in the Loop app on your smartphone. The Get in the Loop app will also get you deals on golfing, spa visits, shopping, and more. It's easy. No coupon printing or pre-purchasing required. And brand new to Get in the Loop is deals on oil changes. Spend less while experiencing more with CFAX 1070 and the Get in the Loop app, available on the App Store. You'll love it.
CFAX Sunday, the biggest stories of the week, revisited with all your favorite hosts, Sunday morning at 8 on CFAX 1070. From health to home to breaking news, it's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. We're talking about class action lawsuits, and it's turned into a discussion about what's happening with Volkswagen now over the emissions scam. Sarah's got a point here. She says, I've heard that the potential fines for Volkswagen could be in the billions. How is it that GM's debacle that actually killed people were fined less than a billion, but Volkswagen didn't kill anyone, and they could be faced with much harsher penalties?
That's a good question. I mean, the key word in there is potential. In the U.S., apparently, at least theoretical fines are something like $36,000 per vehicle sold. In Canada, we apparently have a regulatory regime that would presumptively have a lower limit for fines if they're found to have breached it. But there's some capacity for increased fines if you can show that the company benefited from their breach of our environmental protection legislation. The other thing we were chatting about around the office is the interesting issue of what consumers would choose to do. These vehicles may have some fix which would allow them to, if they're less fuel efficient or powerful or use more of this fluid, be in compliance with the lower emission standards. So one of the interesting things we were debating is what percentage of owners would voluntarily choose to have their car modified to make it less polluting, but also, for example, less fuel efficient or less powerful. What percentage of people would make that choice? Now, they may be required to get the fix, but it wouldn't be every owner who may want to make the decision to use more fuel or have less power. In order to benefit the environment. So it's going to be a fascinating thing to see how it plays out.
What do you think's going to happen when it comes to the success of class action lawsuits against Volkswagen? It's going to take years, or?
It will likely take some. There are likely to be more than one of them. And that's another interesting part of class action lawsuits, where you can have a circumstance like this one where more than one law firm rushes to get a class action started. They say, look, I've got my representative plaintiff. They have themselves a car that was affected. And you can have a hearing sometimes called a beauty contest, where a judge has to listen to the various potential representative plaintiffs and their lawyers and decide who would be the most appropriate representative plaintiff and who would be the most appropriate lawyer to act for the whole class.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love my car, and I think that most Volkswagen owners that I know have had a really good experience. And, you know, local guys at the Victoria Volkswagen dealership have been quoted as saying, you know, we've been duped as well.
Yes. You know? Yeah, and that's the thing. It's an interesting problem, because it's not a problem with how the car performs. It's not a problem with the safety of the car. It's a problem with the car that has this diffuse issue. It could affect everyone in terms of their environmental quality, but it's not a problem where the airbag's going to go off incorrectly or the key's going to turn off or other sort of problems we've seen.
What do you think about, well, the criminal investigations are going on? I mean, this was done knowingly.
That's the other thing about it, right? And that's part of what is going to be so damaging to Volkswagen's sort of corporate brand or reputation. It's one thing to have a problem which is sort of unforeseen, right? Sort of the, you know, Ford and others had a problem with their airbags, right? But it didn't appear that anyone did that in an intentional way. This one is unique because it seems to be a problem which went on for years, was intentional, and sort of had this fraudulent element to it, which will have an impact on, I would expect, whether people are prepared to rely upon other representations made by that company.
So if somebody's listening and wants to be part of a class action lawsuit, how do they go about finding who's involved, which lawyers are doing this?
Well, the way that works is that if you do nothing, which is ordinarily what's required, is not much of you, once a class action gets certified, the law firm would be required to run advertisements or notify potential class members. And then ordinarily you would be part of it unless you take an active step to get out of it. And in cases like this, it wouldn't be much of a challenge to ascertain who the class members are, because Volkswagen would presumptively have a record of who they sold the cars to. So they could be required to turn that over, and then there could be notices provided to all the people that purchased cars that were affected by this, so that they would be aware of it and they could choose to opt out or do nothing and stay in.
Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure. Fascinating talking to you as ever, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and our conversation about Volkswagen will continue. Thank you, Michael Mulligan of Mulligan Tam.